Blog Talk Radio.
Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing keeping your eyes on the prize, but before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for you giving us the desire to please you, to serve you, to trust you, and to obey you, God. Father, I thank you for you having given us your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for our physical wholeness and for our deliverance from sin. God, I thank you for you continuing to strengthen us, God. You continuing to allow your Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to comfort us, to direct us in the way that we should go so that we can be effective and fully realize the witness that you place within us of your Son, Jesus Christ, that all may draw toward him so that he can present them to you. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song by the sensational Pearly Gates, Can I Get a Witness?
Tell somebody, say, I've been born again.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask somebody and hear something. Have God done anything for you? Have he done anything for you? Have he done anything for you? If there is somebody here that know God has been good to you, and you're not ashamed of that fact that he's been good to you, I want to see if I can get a witness in here. Somebody that's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know exactly what he's done for you. I need to ask you just one question, and that question is, can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness? You've ever had a problem that he brought you through, you should admit it, you should confess, you should stand up right now and be a witness. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can
I get a witness? Look up here. If the Lord have done anything for you, if you've ever had a problem that he brought some witnesses in here. Look, is there anybody here that can testify that the Lord has saved your soul? Can anybody here stand up and be a witness that the Lord has made you whole? Is there anybody here that's listening right now that knows that you've been blessed? Well, then it's you that I'm counting on right now to stand up and be a witness. Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
In here, I'm going to the Bible. Watch this. If I could ask that lady lady with the issue of blood to stand up and have something to say about how the Lord healed her body of that disease that day. I'm sure that she would say that this man Jesus not only has healing in his hand, but he's got more healing in the hem of his garment than all the doctors ever known to man. Can I get a witness?
On the prize. And it's so easy to get comfortable in the routine of doing what we call church, where we attend Bible study on Wednesday and prayer on Friday and service on Sunday and anything else that we might do, choir rehearsal, whatever. And the thing is, that God has so much available for us to experience of Him. And each of us has a specific assignment to complete. And while we're here on earth, learning to be led by the Spirit and following the lead of the Holy Spirit is going to produce the kind of stature within us of our soul, that our soul is going to be prepared to go into eternity and function fully. And it's interesting because so many of us, we don't understand what God is doing right now. So part of tonight's teaching is intended to help to get you to focus on the things that really matter. All of these things that we see in life on earth, temporal existence, will not exist in eternity. Nothing you're looking at, you're not going to see any of it in eternity. Even this vessel that we inhabit, our flesh and bones, earthly tabernacle that we dwell in right now, this is not going to inherit eternity. We are going to be changed when Jesus Christ returns. And whatever Jesus Christ is, that's what we're going to become. We're going to be transformed. We're going to be changed when he returns. And that is what we're looking forward to. But even more than that, when we are in eternity, we have to understand that there is a greater than and a less than. There is an experience that is so awesome, that is so great, that is fully functioning with a full reward and all of the crown, the ability to go in and out of the holy city, the ability to reign with Christ for his 1,000-year reign as a part of his government. And whatever else God has planned for us, that is the most. Then there's something in the middle, which is a partial reward and some crowns and some functioning, right? But then you have the bottom. You have the less than. You have those who have no reward. And it speaks of someone like this. There is a verse in the scripture that speaks of pastors that teach people wrongly for the purpose of personal gain, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it says that those who teach, they teach something other than the gospel, that they will be among the least in heaven. And that's why when I present God's word, I'm presenting what I actually read, what I actually know God is saying in his word, what he repeats over and over and over and over again, because I'm held accountable for what I teach. And so I want to encourage you, though, to focus on the things that really matter, because what we're doing now is preparing ourselves to function in eternity. And in order to do that, we have to build up our inner man. We have to speak in tongues, build up our inner man. We have to fast, build up our inner man. We have to pray and build up our inner man. We have to praise God and build up our inner man. We have to fellowship with like-minded believers and build up our inner man. We have to study God's word and cleanse our soul and build up our inner man in preparation to function fully with Jesus Christ in eternity. And I like this analogy. It reminds me of the 9 months that we spent in our mother's womb, and it was preparing us for the 70 to 120 years of life on earth in this earthen vessel, in this body. And so it is that this earthen vessel is preparing our soul and our spirit for eternity. Now, what's interesting about that analogy is that what brought us nourishment while we were in our mother's womb was being connected to the placenta that was drawing nutrients from our mother to us by the umbilical cord, and we were in the amniotic sac, surrounded by amniotic fluid until we were born. And when we were born, that placenta was removed. It came detached from our mother. And then it was cut away from us. The umbilical cord was cut from us. And we took our first breath after we were born, and we started to eat And well, we were breastfeeding from our mother, and then we started to eat food, and we grew and we developed. But just as the placenta and the umbilical cord and the amniotic sac did not go into all of our temporal existence here on Earth, it had to be done away with, right? But it kept us in the process of being prepared for those 9 months that we were in our mother's womb. Well, now our soul and our spirit are within this earthen vessel, within this body. And this body of flesh and bone is intended to get us to eternity. It is to allow us to perform all that God has prepared for us in order to develop our soul, develop our spirit, develop our relationship with God, so that our level of communication and experience with God is real and dynamic, and preparing us to function fully in eternity with whatever reward God has prepared for us. Now, God knows what we will believe to do and what we will not believe to do. God knows how much time we're going to spend investing in developing our relationship with Him and communicating with Him and studying His Word and fasting and praying and fellowshipping with like-minded believers and doing the things that God gives us to do by being led by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. God knows who's going to believe and who's not. And yet, even for the least of these in heaven, our experience is going to be unlike anything that we could possibly imagine. It says that what God has prepared for us has not been seen of, heard of, or entered into the heart of man. It's that awesome. So even among the least of these, it's going to be an incredible experience. But who wants to find themselves in that place for eternity? Now, we're not talking about 70 to 100 years Earth being relatively poor. We're talking about eternity being at the bottom for eternity, right? That's not God's will for you. That's not God's desire. So what I want to discuss tonight are the five crowns for the believers, the what we are supposed to be doing here while we are on Earth, while we're in this earthen vessel, preparing our soul and our spirit for eternity. And the first crown that I want to speak of is the incorruptible crown. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 9:25, and it says that this reward is given for attaining mastery over the old man, the person we were before we were saved. And it awaits each of us who lives for the Lord with singleness of purpose, to live daily with a goal in mind of attaining mastery over our old man. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, everyone who competes in the games goes in a strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And once again, we're speaking of eternity here. And this is the crown incorruptible. And so this verse is basically saying that people who compete for the Olympics, they go into strict training. They have a strict diet. They have a strict schedule where they have to rest. They have to work out. They have to run. They have to do certain things in order to put their body into subjection in such a way that they are prepared to win. And they do it to get a crown that will not last. They are going to get a gold medal or a silver medal or a bronze medal. But we, to get a crown that will last forever. And that's what's at stake here. Our place in eternity. Our place in the government of Christ. Jesus Christ tells us in Revelation 3, that just as he dwells on his Father's throne. Those of us who believe in him, we will dwell on his throne with him. And that is when we believe, that is when we function now in such a way that we are overcoming those things that challenge our position with Christ, those things that challenge God's will for our life. In Revelation 3:21, it says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And then it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's what we have to look forward to. Now, when we talk about mastery over the old man, let's talk about what the old man is. Basically, we're talking about walking by the Spirit. And remember, the crown here is called the crown incorruptible. There are five crowns that I'm going to present tonight that are available to us. And what we do now is going to qualify us for those crowns or not disqualify us from those crowns. What it says here in Galatians chapter 5 is discussing walking by the Spirit. And when you walk by the Spirit, that is where you are positioning yourself to earn this incorruptible crown. When we're walking in the Spirit, verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5 in the New King James Version says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, what this is saying is that your spirit is vying for the attention of your soul, and your flesh is vying for the attention of your soul. Your spirit is calling out to your mind, will, and emotions for you to fellowship with God, to speak to your Heavenly Father, to study God's word, to fast, to pray, to fellowship with like-minded believers. And your flesh is calling out to your soul to do everything it wants to do, to be comfortable, to experience everything that this life has for us to experience. Look at what it says in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, in contrast to that, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So we're to encourage one another to stay focused, to keep our eyes on the prize, to remind one another that what we are working for is this incorruptible crown that will be with us forever in eternity, a crown that will last forever. And see, God is faithful to reward those who are faithful. So we're not doing this for nothing. We are literally building up our inner man in preparation for being able to function fully in eternity. Now, just imagine if when you were in your mother's womb during those 9 months that was preparing you for 70 to 120 years of life here on earth in this body. And your mother didn't eat any vegetables. Your mother didn't drink any water. Your mother didn't get any rest. Your mother continued to consume alcohol. Your mother continued to use drugs. Your mother continued to party and act like she wasn't pregnant at all. Right? Just imagine how that would affect you when you were born and impact your ability to function fully during this 70 to 120 years on earth, right? So it is when we are in this earthen vessel of flesh and bones and we get saved, right? But then we fail to feed, allow our spirit to be what we give our attention to because we're so focused on satisfying the cravings of the flesh. If we spend this 70 to 120 years chasing after pleasing our soul, then we're going to be like that child that whose mother did not drink water, did not get rest, continued to consume alcohol, continued to take drugs, continued to party and act like she didn't have a baby inside of her preparing to be born. And so we have to understand that our soul is valuable. Our soul is preparing to enter eternity, and we have to nurture that soul by allowing our focus to be on feeding the spirit, giving our attention to the spirit. And look at what it says in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5. It says that the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit and not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So we're to be humble, and we are to allow ourselves to put to death our old man. And for those who attain mastery over the old man, by putting our old man in subjugation to our spirit, we will receive this crown incorruptible. That's the first crown. Well, the next crown is called the crown of rejoicing. And the crown of rejoicing is special because it's connected to our ministry of reconciliation. And remember how I told you that every born-again Christian, every born-again believer is a minister of reconciliation. That means it is our job to reconcile the world back to God, our job to bring those who God has called before the foundation of the world who do not yet know Jesus Christ. It's our job to introduce them to Jesus Christ so that he can be their master, so that he can be their Lord, so that he can be their brother, and he can present them to his heavenly Father, God Almighty. And so it says about the crown of rejoicing that this is a special crown for soul winners. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20 affirms that the souls won for Jesus will make us worthy of this crown. What an award must await, not only because of the Thessalonians he won to the Lord, but also for the host of others he led to Calvary as well. In Daniel 12:3 in the Old Testament, Daniel 12:3 says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So this says that those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, to Jesus Christ, like the stars forever and ever. That is what your eternal existence will be like. Look at what it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. It says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." See, the souls that we win are our crown of rejoicing. And think of this. Many people say, "Oh, when I go to heaven, I want to see my mother and my father and my relatives and my friends." And see, they say that. Now, I believe our real desire should be to see our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, and to see our Lord, our Master, Jesus Christ. And then, if you really want to see your loved ones, if you really want to see your friends, then you will really be about the business of reconciling them to God, sharing with them the good news of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And see, those that you win, it says that they'll be around. They'll be your crown of rejoicing. And think about it. Those that you love enough to share the good news of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for their spiritual wholeness, for their physical wholeness, and they benefit, that's the reward. That's a reward all by itself. But now this crown is an eternal reward. See, God is faithful to honor your work for him. He needs you to do this work. And see, that's another thing people don't understand is they believe that what they do for God is optional, that God doesn't need them. And if God didn't need you, he'd have did it without you. But God has a plan that includes you. You are on God's mind. And that's why God expects him to be on your mind, because he has such incredible things planned for you, such incredible things planned for me, that when we are about God's business of winning souls, the crown of rejoicing awaits us. It is ours for eternity, to go with the crown incorruptible for mastery over the old man. And now, the next crown, the third crown that I want to share with you, is the crown of life. And it says, when Satan storms the walls, or, you know what, before we get to that crown of life, I want to talk a little more about this crown of rejoicing, because when we win souls for the Lord, it says angels in heaven rejoice. But our rejoicing is that the people that we love, especially our friends, especially our family, especially those in our households that we have the privilege of ministering the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for them, that presents them to Jesus Christ so Jesus Christ can present them to his Heavenly Father, God Almighty, you know, that is an incredible privilege. And we are going to be rejoicing in heaven. And we're going to have that crown of rejoicing. But look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 19. And this is speaking about our ministry of reconciliation. How all of us, the ministry of reconciliation, it says in verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." And to reconcile something is to bring it back to its rightful place. See, when Satan deceived Eve and caused Adam to sin, He removed mankind from the place of favor in the presence of God, being able to commune and speak with our Heavenly Father at any time, the place where they had to have a high priest go before God once a year to beckon God and atone for the sins of mankind. And that's why God had to send his only begotten Son to get the job done for real. And when he sent Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ died for us, after he was beat for our physical wholeness to deliver us from death, sickness, disease, illness. And then when he died on the cross and his blood was shed, his perfect blood paid for our sin and made us free from sin, made us the righteousness of God. And so when we share this good news of how Jesus Christ was laid in the stone tomb after being beat for our physical wholeness, after bleeding his perfect blood for our spiritual wholeness, and he was dead in the stone tomb for 3 days and three nights before God raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I when we believe, when we confess Jesus Christ as our Master, when we repent and turn away from serving sin, when we get water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, when we believe to speak in tongues, when we believe to prophesy, when we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is our Master and Lord, when we believe in our heart that God raised his only begotten Son from the dead, and when we call upon the name of Jesus Christ, we know that we're saved. There is no doubt in our mind. And so now we share that good news with others. And we're excited about that because not only are we winning these souls and their lives being transformed, but we're going to see them in eternity, and our crown of rejoicing is going to be our manifestation of the work that we did down here for eternity, right? We're going to shine as the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, we're going to shine like the stars forever. And you know how there are different magnitudes of stars? Some stars are very bright. Some stars are not so bright. Some stars are red. Some stars are blue. Some stars are white. Well, that's how it is going to be in eternity, right? So how bright do you want your star to shine in eternity? How people in Hollywood will do anything to get their star on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood, right? And that's supposed to be a big deal. Now, you know, for what it is, it's a fascinating thing. This is 100 times what that is. 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, because you're talking about eternity, right? So this next crown I want to get to is the crown of life. And this crown of life, it's important because it says when Satan storms the walls of our souls, meaning to break through, we must stand firm, trusting in the strength of Christ, remembering what is said in James 1:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And see, the crown of life is promised to those who love God, right? Now, think about it. And this is why I don't have sex in telling people that everything the Bible says you need to do to be saved, you need to do to be saved, that we need to do. If you read Acts 2:38 and 39, where it says that we are to turn away from serving sin, and we are to be baptized, water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and we shall be saved, do that. Do those two things. Then go to Acts 19, 1-7, and read that, where it says that we're to believe, to speak in tongues, and believe, to prophesy, and do that. And then go to Romans chapter 10. Call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do that. Where it tells us to believe in our heart that God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead. Do that. And it tells us to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is our Lord, our master. Do that. And you shall be saved. Right? That way, when the devil comes with those fiery darts telling you you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you slipped up, you did this, you did that, you did whatever, you're not really saved, you can, in the name of Jesus Christ, because everything the Bible said for you to do, you did. Not that you're saved because you did that. You're saved because of what Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary, but he made available for you to come boldly before the throne. And what allows us to be bold is God told us exactly what to do. We don't have to guess. God told us in Acts 2:38 and 39, Acts 19:1-7, and Romans 10:8-13. So read those verses and then do what is in those verses and believe. And don't worry. Don't have any doubt, any worry, any fear. Know that God is going to honor his promise. And that's the other thing that's big about these crowns, is to understand that God is faithful. God wouldn't have you do all of this for nothing. God wants you to succeed. He knows if you're going to or not, right? So for us, it's an act of faith. It's an act of trusting in God. So when Satan comes in trying to get you to quit, trying to get you to, when Satan storms the walls of your souls, threatening to break through, right? We have to stand firm, trusting in the strength of Christ, because we know the Word of God says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? And the devil is always trying to tell you, you can't, what you can't do. I used to know somebody who would always say, I can't, I can't, I can't. I had this accent. I can't. And then they'd also say, my mama said, and I started putting those things together and saying, my mama said, I can't. And I'm like, you know, that is an attack from the devil that honestly a lot of us get when we're young, because, you know, when we're kids, we're always telling our kids the first thing is, no, don't, stop. Because everything kids are doing is dangerous, playing with outlets, all kinds of stuff like that, right? And so now, to grow up with a mindset of I can't, and coming from a place of authority, because people who really cared about us were trying to teach us judgment, trying to allow us to understand that there is real danger in life and there are, and that we need to be careful, right? But God is trying to tell us that he has a protective hedge about us. His angels are encamped about us. His plan for us is good. Yes, we're going to endure some persecution. And when we do, we have to understand it's not for nothing. God is getting great glory from it. This in James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So, you know, the first and great commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And now in this verse, God is saying, when you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you persevere under trial, I'm going to give you the crown of life for that. Wow. You know, we were going to do that anyway. That is one, that's the commandment, is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? But when you really love God, the promise to those who really love God, who persevere under trial and stand the test and don't quit, right? When Satan tries to bust in by tearing everything you have apart, and you stand your ground, and you don't curse God, and you look for the way of escape that God promises in his word, right? And you see God's faithfulness, and you learn to be at peace in the midst of the storm. You learn to testify and praise God, testify of his goodness in the middle of your crisis. The crown of life is yours. And then the next crown, the fourth crown that we're going to look at, is this crown of righteousness. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, "Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me also, but to all who have longed for his appearing." So for all who long for the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are going to receive a crown of righteousness. You know why? Because when you long for the return of Jesus Christ and you understand he can return at any moment, you live like that. You live such a life that you know you're ready, because your thoughts are about the return of Christ. You're longing for the return of Christ. You're not trying to hold on to any of this nonsense down here that's not going to be here after Jesus Christ returns. Anyway, we're going to be eagerly awaiting his appearing. And those of us who are eagerly awaiting the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are going to receive this crown of righteousness, because we are living for his return. We are continually about this other business of attaining mastery over the old man, of winning souls, of persevering under trial, and then longing for the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the incorruptible crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. Now, this last crown is a special crown. I really want to take a little bit of time with this so that you understand this crown is special and not something that everyone is going to receive. This is the crown of glory, and this is a special reward for the faithful pastor who willingly feeds the flock week after week. The Apostle Peter discussed the reward in 1 Peter 5, 2-4. It says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Now, what's important to understand is this crown of glory is this double reward, so to speak. It is what a pastor is receiving, because the attack on a pastor, getting hit by the devil over and over and over from every possible angle, because if he can tear the pastor down and get the pastor to quit, he can impact a whole bunch of people all at once. But that faithful pastor who perseveres, who willingly cares for God's people as a faithful under-shepherd and overseer, who is serving not because he must, but because he's willing, voluntarily caring for God's people. And so the heart of a pastor cares for the physical, mental, emotional, financial, and spiritual well-being of God's people, of the flock, and the reward to them. See, God's not just saying, "Oh, well, you better do that." He is faithful to honor that sacrifice, to to honor that faithfulness, to honor that service with this crown of glory, which is for eternity, right? And it says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. So Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, and then evangelists, teachers, etc. These are under shepherds. These are people who are leading you, feeding you, faithfully caring for you, ministering to you, to present you to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a complete and perfect work. See, our job is to equip you for the work of the ministry so that you can attain mastery over the old man, so that you can win souls for the kingdom, so that you can succeed at persevering under trial and standing the test and receive the crown of life, so that you can know to long for the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, understanding that is our hope. See, what we hope for is the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because all this stuff down here is nothing compared to what God has in store for us. So I just want to encourage you to stay focused. Don't get distracted with all of this stuff of the world, trying to please people and serve money and lean to your own understanding and operate out of your own limited strength, talents, and abilities. God is calling you to serve him, not your own understanding, and to operate out of the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit, not your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. And then God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, so that you can live a more than abundant life, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially, and try to go the 120 years and see everything God has prepared for you. Because when you understand you're building up your inner man by living a more than abundant life, then you understand that there's a benefit to not quitting at 70. There's a benefit to walking into the fullness of all of God's promises and trying to live to 120. Knowing that, you know, Moses didn't even start his ministry till 80. He spent 40 years as the son of Pharaoh, learning the ways of the world. He spent 40 years as the son-in-law of Jethro in the wilderness on the run from Pharaoh for killing the Egyptian. And he raised his family out in the wilderness for those 40 years and learned submission and humility before he received his assignment from God to go back to Egypt and deliver God's people from bondage. And the last 40 years of Moses' life, from 80 to 120, was doing the work of leading God's people to the promised land. And to understand that the devil is trying to psych us out of everything God has available for us by trying to minimize what it is we're doing here in the spiritual realm. So I want to encourage you to read what it says about the incorruptible crown in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Read what it says about the crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Read what it says about the crown of life in James chapter 1. Read what it says about the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And read what it says about the crown of glory in 1 Peter chapter 5 this week. And expect God to do great things in your life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth. I thank you for you blessing each and every soul on this line tonight. And I thank you for you being the one who gets all the glory for people learning to trust you, serve you, please you, and obey you. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.
Lord, it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows, showed him the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but fire next time. Listen, way back in the Bible days, Noah told the people it's gonna rain. But when he told them, they paid him no mind. And when it happened, they was left behind. I tell you, it's gonna rain. Get ready, it's gonna rain. Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows, show him the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but fire next time. Listen, church, they tell me when the water began to pour, they knocked on the window, they knocked on the door. They didn't know exactly what to do. Now you don't want this to happen to you. I tell you, it's gonna rain. Do you believe it's gonna rain? Lord, you better get ready and bear this in mind. God sure knows the rainbow sign. He said it won't be water, but fire next time. This is what Noah told. Noah said, I'm sorry, my